Tar, you ready?
Sure. Sure. Personnel carrier, Dr. Tar. This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight, thank you very much, Gadfly.
This is Dr. I'd like a drink of water head. And you are experiencing...
Unsane Radio. Unsane Radio. Oh, Unsane Radio. We've got another episode of Unsane Radio. Hey, this one, this kind of reminds me of, you know, remember that song? Anyway, this movie that we're going to be talking about this episode is kind of a weird-ass movie. I don't know how else to put it. It was made, what, in 1995?
95,
yeah. It's 1995. It's called... Tank Girl, stars, what's her name? Lori Petty.
Lori Petty. Yeah.
Lori Petty.
Lori Petty. And, Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts. Yeah.
Nobody else matters. There we go. there are a few other people in this.
Ice-T.
Ice-T. Yeah. What are those?
Ice-T and,
Lemonade.
Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell's in it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, he's the master villain. This movie
so
is thirsty. is based on a comic book. Mm-hmm. And it is a comic book.
Yes.
It is true to form. All of the live action is comic book live action. And then there's comic book action. Mm-hmm. Interspersed within the movie,
which is right, which is awesome,
yeah, which and works extremely well for what it is and for what's
and
going
it keeps
on.
That tone yeah. through the movie though.
The only thing that I thought, because this movie came out in 95, I thought it had this like early 80s, late 70s, early 80s vibe to it. It didn't seem like a 1995 movie, you know? Yeah. Seemed like it should have come out.
Well, it was the apocalypse, so you know, you're collecting shit that didn't necessarily need to be the time.
Exactly. Because this takes place in what, 2030 or something like
2032.
That? 2032. 2032, is that? Yep. Okay, 2032. Yep. All right. And it is a post-apocalyptic world because a comet had crashed into the Earth and pretty much decimated everything but a few pockets of people. And we don't even know how many pockets. This only deals with like one pair of pants with maybe three pockets or two.
Yeah,
three.
We're not talking cargo pants. Yeah.
And the pockets were all that deep. They're kind of like a little change pocket right here.
Fanny packs. We're talking fanny packs of people, not even pockets.
Yeah, yes. what are they called? The dog creatures. What are they called?
The Rippers.
Rippers.
The
yeah.
Rippers. The Rippers.
The Michael Rippers.
Yeah. They're one of the weirdest things about this whole this whole thing, because it is a cartoon. And you follow the exploits of this girl who is a straight out of Punkaronia. You know, she's just she's a punk and a half.
Punkaroni. A San Francisco treat.
But she goes through a series of adventures. And we have to introduce the mega villain is he runs the power and water company.
Authority.
And it is authority. And it is Malcolm McDowell. Oh, yeah. Malcolm McDowell.
Always.
Who's a better villain? Come on.
No.
Who's your better villain? Who's your better villain?
He's so good.
Who's your better villain?
Who's your better villain? Come on.
Caligula. Hail Caligula.
Caligula.
What was his name in Clockwork Orange?
He's the bad guy. He's the bad guy.
Wakes the Sticky Wakey.
Okay. Speaking, since we're talking about Malcolm McDowell, he, in an interview, he said, yeah, I really liked making this movie. Mm-hmm. He said, because it reminded me of A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting, you know. But anyway, so it follows this, and she has a kind of a weapons fetish, and she really likes tanks for some reason. But when you see her on the tank, you understand, because this is not your everyday garden variety comic book. There's a bit of sexual tension throughout.
You know? It's rated R.
Oh, it turned my turret. Yeah, sorry.
So there are some moments that are pretty fun. But almost all of them are played for comedy. Almost, you know, it seems like just about everything in this movie is played for comedy. And just they're almost, you know, it's almost a parody of the genre, you know, and just kind of poking fun at it. It has that really has a this punk attitude. That's what I, you know,
punk. Well, that's the word. This, yeah,
it's really a punk attitude. The whole thing, even the music and everything is
very, very stylized,
pretty punk oriented. She, you know, has her hair, blonde hair with it. I love their haircut. I thought that was
always changing.
I thought she was always different. I really thought she looked hot.
Yeah.
Lori Petty? Yeah. Don't get me started. Yeah.
No, she was great. I see, you know, we see the proto Harley Quinn in her look.
Absolutely, yes.
A lot of Gwen Stefani in her look.
Oh my gosh, you know? Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's a fun character.
Yep.
You know, I that's
and yeah, and I think that was a good thing too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. If you want to continue with the summary, that's fine.
No, I really wasn't. I was just going to make an observation that go ahead.
I would say I loved the comic bookness of the story in the movie that was so prevalent throughout. And the silliness,
I really like the silliness of it.
Yeah,
the transitions and now we're going to get some animation. Now we're going to get still panels. We're going to get this stuff. And like, you know, it doesn't want you to forget that you are in
right.
a comic book.
Very upfront what it is. Yeah.
It broke ground with that as a film. Like a lot of films that come after that are from this. And I honestly think that's the influence of Jamie Hewlett, the artist. Who is a multimedia artist and who has his fingers in all kinds of stuff, you know? So I don't want to overstep my bounds.
I really like the style he did her in, though, too.
His art. Yeah. If you've not seen his art, especially with the gorillas, holy shit, you know?
Awesome.
That dude is. Yeah. A lot of artists talk about shape. Yeah, they talk about shape language. Shape language being part of, you know, what an artist. Create Jamie Hewlett. That stuff is so fucking good.
There was another artist that was kind of like that, but it was a Judge Dredd artist. And
he did Judge Dredd. Well, O'Neill, but
you mean
but,
Bixley? Bixley?
No, I'm thinking of O'Neill. There was
Jamie
like
Hewlett,
a very distinct.
Jamie Hewlett did Judge Dredd. He did Shade the Changing Man. He did a bunch of shit. Like he was everywhere. Right. Yeah, his art is so influential, and nobody talks about him except for gorillas, and they go. Yeah, so if you've not seen the art books that come with the gorillas CDs and stuff, I have them. They're amazing. Fucking amazing. Sorry, I'm just all I can do is geek out about Jamie Hewlett. I love Tank Girl so much. Like, I love the form that it takes. I love that it inspired so many different things, like the original, the Hulk that Ang Lee did. It did American Splendor. You know, like all of those comic book to movie that still remain comic books. Great stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the new Fantastic Four is very much like that. I think I found
it. I haven't
don't
seen
get,
it.
Is don't get me, else in? No, don't get me started on the new kind of Fantastic Four. I'm sorry.
Oh, you didn't
have
like
seen it?
I have, yes.
Didn't care for it?
Doesn't seem like it. Let's everybody watch it and we'll talk about it at some point.
What's it on? Is it on Disney now?
It is on Disney.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
On Disney. Yeah.
I think we got that right now.
So,
Well, wait, Professor Feather, when you come on Thanksgiving, I'll give you a copy of it, and then we can talk about it, because...
Yeah, I know what okay. You're going to say. It's not strict. Well, yes, we'll save it for the podcast.
Yeah,
We should save it for the podcast.
I haven't seen it yet, so...
But back to Tank Girl. Yes. I had never seen it before, honestly. Like
really?
Two movies, week's movie and this movie, the last episode, I had never seen. I was well aware of it.
What did you think of it?
I liked it better than I did My Name is Bruce.
Hey, fuck off! I'm sorry, that was Jerry, not Midnight Gadfly. That was
part
Jerry.
Of it was Lori Petty, because she carries that character.
She does.
She's like, so committed to the zaniness of it. Mm-hmm. And also, there's this sense of Teflon quality. Like, no matter what the situation is, she's still snarky to the end. Kind of like, I know I'm going to get out of here without really breaking through like mm-hmm. Deadpool would, you know? And I like that it was so over the top and silly. I loved the seeming like shots. Like we're gonna see a panel from the comic book. We're gonna see some animation. Like you're reminding us how we are in a comic book. There was one scene that kind of fell flat for me. I forget which one it was, but she kind of bonks or this other woman on the head. It was just like it just stuck out like a bad performance. It just didn't feel authentic, but
they should have cut to the cartoon panel.
Yeah, because I know that's exactly what they were trying to do, and I get that a cartoon panel, like a goofy, like a little anime panel, would have been way more effective there. I love the costumes and like when she's laying there with those big missiles, you know, to like, oh my god,
I
remember that. I've seen pictures of Tank Girl. I was aware of the character
with Slim Pickens riding them.
Yes, exactly. And I just thought, so I really liked that about the movie. You know, I'd have to watch it again to see whether I liked it or not, but I really appreciate it.
I think
it was really leaning into the comic.
Stan Winston did.
And that was really, it was entertaining. I loved the makeup. Yeah, the makeup of the Rippers I thought was really good.
That was Stan Winston?
Yep.
Really? Yeah. Winston. Okay, so that was really good. I liked the way that they were fighting, like jumping like big, you know, dogs or kangaroos.
The Rippers.
The Rippers were,
What's the dinosaur guy that did that? Gorosaurus jumped up kangaroo kick.
Yeah. They had the dog kangaroo qualities.
Godzilla.
You know?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. They're kind of a
And I kind of like their story. That's a total comic book story. Here's the government trying they're trying to keep us buried. And now we've turned to this, you know. There's the one who was the dog who
got the dog. That's the greatest part. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And you could always see he's just not quite there, not, you know, but he's trying, man. He's really,
but he has
trying.
A dog's loyalty.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like this person knows dogs. Like, yes,
it's,
you know,
it's exactly. John Steinbeck.
Yeah, that actor is somebody you've recognized through a lot of stuff. So his acting is, when I saw him, I'm like, I know who that is. I've seen that dude in tons of stuff, TV, movies. He's a character actor that, you know, is everywhere.
Whit Bissell. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think one of the things I liked most about this was just that zaniness, you know what I mean? Like, and I love the fact that in the middle, We have this kind of decadent place where they do the jazz and
the
stuff
dance,
like that.
This choreography,
yeah, the dance, like it's great, you know. And I love when she's going through and becoming these different characters inside of this, you know, this sex place where she's supposed to become a sex doll, yeah. You know, and she's doing that. But I also love the transformation of Naomi Watts' character, which is amazing. You know what I mean? Like, that's not subtle at all. Yeah, you know, I mean, it is subtle. I mean, but it's
both hands, Feather. Hands. Let's see your hands, Feather. Talk about Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts.
Hands free.
And I'm spent.
What's your hands doing?
I think she was great in it.
Yes.
I mean, yes, you know, really I just was. Think she was standout great.
Yeah.
In it, I think.
Yep.
Oh, standout's right. We call it tenting.
Tent worthy, yeah, right? No,
the other person I'd like to give a shout out to in this movie was Iggy Pop.
Oh, yeah. Great. Very small role.
Cameo.
Yep. that wig was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Just about everything in this movie is just there again. You know, I just so appreciate it because they just. It's one of the truest capture of a comic book.
It was, live I was going to say, it's that made to be.
I've seen. Yeah. Yeah, I just think it, you know, it just really worked very, very well. And like you said, if it wasn't for her, you know, she carries the movie absolutely. Because, but it is about her, you know. That's that's what the
and she looks
the movie's
exactly
about.
Like
that's why the movie's called Tank Girl.
Yeah,
because she does get a tank.
Her origin, you know, origin story. Origin.
Yeah, there you're right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I don't know. Anybody read the comic book?
I did. I had a bunch of their comic books, and that's where I became a Jamie Hewlett fan. Hewlett fan. Yeah, his stuff is amazing. It's very... What?
No, go ahead.
I'm just... His stuff is very, like... It's very cartoony, but it's very energetic. Like, I don't know. It's...
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who have copied what he has done up to, you know... After him. The real thing I like about Tank Girl is that it looks very cheesy. Like there's some great effects and then there's some cheesy effects, and it embraces the kind of B movie.
It's a lower budget movie, yeah.
It is, but there's some stuff that's not lower budget. Like remarkable. Yeah. Yeah.
But
Jamie Hewlett,
it's enjoyable to me, but it's just that genre that we kind of like, that kind of B movie fun stuff, and it's a fun movie. I like it.
Oh no, the point I wanted to make was the director, the woman, right?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Pete Barbuti.
Yes, Petrus.
You know, one of these times, it's going to be your correct answer.
It is, because it
will be
long after us, but yes, it will be.
Someone somewhere will ask.
This is Criswell. Pete Barbuti will be an answer.
Her name
Talalay. Rachel Talalay.
Yeah. Rachel Talalay.
One of the first people.
She did a bunch of TV stuff.
Tell me a banana.
One of the first Americans to direct a Doctor Who episodes or series.
Oh really?
Oh.
Yep.
She's real, real big and real active in TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did some episodes of Sherlock. She did some. There's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I like the script for the most part. There really wasn't anything I didn't like when I think about
it. It's an enjoyable movie.
Just a fun movie. And you know, on an adult level, you know, it's not a kid's movie.
Oh, it's rated R.
Yeah.
Oh, it's rated R.
It is.
Yeah, there's nudity.
Is it really rated R?
Raunchy.
Raunchy.
Yeah. But
Yeah, that's why I said there's... I like the fact that, I don't know who brought it up, but I think it was Dr. Head that brought up... oh, shit. The one that... Clockwork Orange. I think there's very much a Clockwork Orange in it. Yeah, well, but I think the whole...
That was me, thank you.
Oh, was it? Okay. The whole sex parlor where they are, you know, where they have that stuff is definitely part of that. But it's also Logan's Run. You know, we've got that kind of 70s sleek kind of thing that comes out, you know, even
when they showed it on TV, there was still some nip there. I remember watching that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to God, I saw a nip.
And I'm spent.
Not to mention the implied bestiality at the end there.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob ram you.
I don't think it was implied at all.
Ram you. I think you're right.
That dude
being. I was being, you know.
That dude pig, yeah.
Well, I think Reggie E. Cathy is great. The guy who sacrifices himself, you know, he's the jazz player who loves on the road and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I know that dude. And I looked him up and I'm like, oh, he was in, oh shit, all kinds of stuff. He has passed, you know, a few years ago. Hmm. But he was on, what was that Kevin Spacey show on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Where he was the
East
president.
East Wing or West Wing or?
It was, you know, he was the East Wing.
Well, what? There's no East Wing anymore. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name of the series.
House of Cards, something like that.
House of Cards. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, a remake of a British show, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
there's a Royal Flush.
That they brought it to the, you know, and Americanized it.
Yeah, Reggie Cathy.
Great job, because the original is British boring.
Yes, go fish and chips.
What's the crisis of the week? We may not have fish and chips, Mum. Oh.
Oh, where's the bangers and mash?
Oh, surf and turf again.
Oh yeah.
So tank. Oh,
we also had James Hong.
British listeners.
We had James Hong in there, too.
Yes, he is in this.
He's well hung.
So was the tank half empty or half full?
you're right. He that was a great character in this movie. Yeah, this movie's just full of just all kinds of weird stuff.
And that's
what I like about it, you know, because they were just not afraid to, you know, let's just go kind of all out. And I like that. It's kind of like the Marv movies,
Sin City.
Oh, Sin City.
Sin City. Yeah. You know, probably one of the other successes at trying to reproduce a comic.
And kind of like Buckaroo Banzai in a way, too. Yeah. Just the
I think they all
of it.
Yeah. Yes.
I think they all owe it to Tank Girl. You know what I mean? Buckaroo Banzai was before Tank Girl.
Yeah.
But it didn't do that kind of, did it? Did it have illustrations in between? I don't, now I'm like,
no, wondering. Nothing like,
no.
Buckaroo Banzai was 82 no. or 81.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
No, I don't think it had anything like that. It
nothing like that. No.
No.
But like, that flavor that it had, though, was like.
Yeah, that's what I said. That was a new thing that was great. We saw it with Ang Lee's Hulk. We saw it with American Splendor, which American Splendor is one of my all-time favorite movies. Like,
great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
Harvey Pekar.
Yep, Harvey Pekar.
Have you done an episode on it?
No, because it's not been available to everybody, but. I would love to. Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah.
We can do a viewing party together. I've got it.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I've got it on DVD. But yeah, I love that movie.
Digital.
So anyway, Tank Girl.
I got digital.
Anybody got anything else to say about Tank Girl?
Any tank shells?
Lori Petty is not married. I would like to extend an offer.
Offer of what?
Yeah, one in the room. Yeah.
Come on the show. We'd love to have you, Miss Betty.
Yeah, no,
we would like.
Yeah, I love you, and I'm in Toledo.
That's why I stumbled that much since the 8th grade prom.
I didn't go to prom.
Would you like to go to the Fall Harvest Dance with me?
And Dr. Tarr wants to know if you actually do move in. Can I get an autograph?
No relation to Tom Petty. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Really, so anyway,
Tank Girl. I can't think of anything else to say about Tank Girl.
Well, just let's talk about, where do you know Lori Petty from, other than Tank Girl?
I'll have to retread over this. So.
I don't know.
A League of Their Own. She's amazing in that.
Oh, that's true.
Tom Hanks, yeah. You know.
She is, yes.
Yeah, yeah, she's the, oh, she is.
She's really good at
and
that.
And she's the zany person, you know, she's the zany.
Wild
card in that. And she's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's so Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
Yes. She is kind of.
Really? Yeah.
Well, and I love the fact that what's the first song you hear in the movie?
Oh, no. I know there's a Bjork song in there.
Right. But the first song is A Girl You Want.
Written
by Devo.
It's performed by Devo, but it's written by Mark Mothersbaugh and somebody else. I can't remember the other person.
Oh, okay.
But it's performed by Devo. But it's clearly a Devo. But you hear a female voice in there. And I'm like, that is a great song. Great song to set that off with. What a tone.
Yeah.
Anytime Devo's in there, I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it part, like this. Well, you had mentioned before, Professor Feather, how this movie doesn't feel like it came from the 90s. It certainly feels like it was more of like an 80s, like something I would have seen on a VHS release, because it's got the music, it's got the sound, it's got that attitude. Now, using Devo, there's, you know, those are that kind of keeps it in that 80s nostalgia, you know, or that time period. So I like that about the movie. It was kind of surprising. I wonder why the movie was made. Like, how was this pitched? Like, was it doing exceptionally well as a comic book at that time or in the early 90s? I didn't read it. So,
yeah, it was. It was really popular. Like, it started in another magazine as a kind of like a heavy metal magazine.
Okay.
Where it was just a story, and then it became its own thing. And then it was really Hewlett's art that people just were like, what the fuck? You know, this is, you know, nobody draws cartoony like this in a comic book. This is all like Disney or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it got so popular in Britain, it then got popular in the United States. And I remember buying a trade paperback of it, like probably in like 92, 93, something like that. And it was
from Hidden Realms.
I don't know. I don't know where it came from. But it was so amazing.
$2.
Yeah. Well, I was amazed by that and the coloring, like what the color, you know, and again, Jamie, I'm not sure that Jamie Hewlett didn't do the coloring, because if you look at the Gorillaz artwork that he did, and I can't stress this enough, I love the Gorillaz. I think one of the greatest bands ever. And then the idea that they had this animated characters that were the Gorillaz that was designed by Jamie Hewlett. Yeah, just look at that artwork. It's beautiful. They're paintings. Yeah, I'm just going to keep waving my hands like this.
It's very good.
It's this good. This many good.
I'm masturbating.
That's called masturbating.
I like the part in the movie where Malcolm McDowell's character finally bites the dust, but he was changed, you know, into this something else, and you find out that because he has this claw, which is here again, his arm. That's so comic book, because it's just so outrageous. All the little, you know, it's
the saws and the drills.
The saws, just so outrageous.
That's given to him by James Hong, who can't speak English, but it speaks through his chest. But isn't James Hong the one that is in Blade Runner? yes. saying, I created yes. your eyes, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. He's also
I am not, you are not here to get it.
Little China.
Yeah, yes, you are not here to get it, Mr.
You, we are not here to get it, Mr. Barton.
And he was also in, oh, what was it?
Oh, Destination Inner Space as the cook.
No, the one that won the Oscar last year, Jamie Curtis and
two Wongs don't make
time, no everything travel. Everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah, he's in that too. Yeah, he's a grandfather, I believe.
That was like 4 years ago.
Was it last? No,
yeah.
I've been smoking a lot of pot, so I don't know.
It seemed like yesterday.
I've been pretty high the last 3-4 years, so
it's the time dilation.
Yeah, I don't know how long I've been sitting.
What time? What?
I feel like I've been sitting for 2 weeks. I don't know.
It's the doctor head dilation. We we did an episode on that.
Yes,
we did an episode on Everything Everywhere at all
yes.
at once.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yes,
no,
great movie, man.
Great fucking movie. Yeah.
We can't say as much about the episode, but great movie.
Dial H for Hero.
What?
Is that the one where you had to?
Dial H for Hero.
There was like some. I remember this little silly comic. It was Dial H for Heroes. Like someone had like a, it looked like a dial, and then you dialed like, and when you dialed a letter or whatever, you come up as a different superhero or whatever ability.
Oh yeah!
Anybody remember that?
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a comic book. Yeah, in the I remember it like in the '80s, early '80s.
I think I saw it in like '70s. So
it was a DC comic, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They had all of those weird, like, all the people that weren't in the Justice like the League, tier. You know that. Yeah, they were like the all Doom like Patrol these sub, and all the weird
Metal
little,
Men and yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I liked Metal Men. I remember that one. That was good.
So everybody here except Feather has seen the new Superman, right?
Yes, I have seen it.
And so Feather, okay, when you're here on Thanksgiving, I'm going to give you a copy.
Okay.
I'm serious because we should do an episode on it.
All right.
Yeah.
You might like it.
I'm for it. Well,
I think you will.
We'll see.
It's,
we'll see.
Yeah. You know why? Because he loves James Gunn. He loves him. We all do.
Yeah.
And yes, totally James Gunn. Yep.
Yeah, he's James Gunn. He has not J.J. Abrams himself out yet.
Oh, come on. J.J. Abrams been very good.
No, that was a joke.
He'd been very, very good.
Okay. Okay. Oh, well, I'll do the same thing.
Stink eye. Stink eye vision.
I give you the greasy eye.
Watch your face. Your taint will freeze like that.
So back to Tank Girl. Dr. Hit, what's your favorite scene out of Tank Girl that you can just, out of the top of your head, that just comes right to the, you know, kind of like bubbles up to the top of your head?
Which is weird because it's not a lot of water.
It doesn't take too long. There's not much to percolate.
But she made me percolate.
Yeah, the water dancing scene, but we didn't get to see her wet. No, I love the scene toward the end. It's always great to see Tank Girl being silly, but I love the scene where she's laying down with the dog and she's got those missile tits. I just thought, because it was so from the comic book. It was so, I mean, this movie has been building up to absurdity, to absurdity, to absurdity. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here's the coup de grace moment for me. It was like, you know, like you're in, you're committed, you know, it's like, okay, Homelander's jerking off. This is the scene right here, you know, you know, orgasm. So that's what I really just thought, okay, this is, they're not backing down at any aspect of this. And that's what I loved.
Good one. Dr. Tarr, can you just off the top of your head, what something that comes to your mind?
Oh, there's a couple. I like when you first see the rippers are just kind of bizarre. And then you figure, and Ice-T being one of them makes it even more weird. And then, I don't know why this one makes me laugh. It's like a random scene. You know, like when he first kills someone and they extract their water, and he takes that little like retractable cup and like
very Dune
back with it.
Very yeah. Dune. Yeah.
It yes. is. Yeah. I don't know why. I just thought that was just
yeah. That cup thing was really cool. The design of that, mm-hmm.
and it filters yeah. and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You get a little bit of the blood and then the water. Well, yeah,
and
that was really
and
cool.
even to the point where they've got it set up so that when it starts filling the water, the bottle expands.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Pops out. That to me was a feature. I thought now that's a paying attention to detail.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
The collapsible cup, of course.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Yes. It was, it, no, it was yeah, it's like cool. it's your compact water extractor. Gadfly.
Oh, mine's easily. It's the scene where she dresses up as different people to be the in the sex place.
Yeah,
like her character. This is where I go, Larry. Or Lori, Larry, Lori Petty is
Larry.
Larry, Lori Petty is she's a fucking a pantomime. Like she has this ability to physically do things that is very Jim Carrey esque, and which I loved it. Yeah, that is so great, and her just irreverence in the whole movie. You know, it's yeah. it's that is you know it doesn't wane. You know, there's a point where they're like, we're going to kill that girl. And she goes, I'd rather she die than to live like this fucking bullshit. And yeah. so we'll both die. And I'm like going, yes.
yeah. Yeah.
Now you said you'd read the comic book, Gadfly. Was the movie accurate to the flavor and feel, the story of the comic book?
It was to flavor and feel. But I think the movie did what it should do as being a movie. As opposed to the comic, but I love the fact that they put the comic stuff in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, there were whole parts yeah. where they did the thing with the tank where you, if you didn't pay attention to the comic part, you didn't know that the tank was kind of sentient. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're going, why? How would she be able to do this while the tank is still going? And then you find, you know, at the end of the movie, which I think is great, you're like, that tank is sentient. There's no way that tank is not AI or something yeah, like that, you yeah. know. And she's even talking to it by the end of the
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very
yeah, if you haven't read the comic, I would suggest going back and grabbing them and, you know, and reading them because they're so much fun. So much fun. And they're again, they're absurd. They're comics. You know, they do what comics yeah. do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, and that's why I said that, you know, we've said it several times, but this movie accomplishes it too. Like very few have to make a truly comic book movie.
Yeah, and it sets the standard. I mean, it not standard. It is. I think it becomes the thing that other movies
plateau.
Yeah, it becomes the thing that
they're going to imitate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, there have been a lot of fun comic book movies adapted to film. So that's it's not about that. But this truly keeps you present.
It just
and the fact that this is a comic
all the
book.
Marks. Yeah, it was yeah. good.
And,
yeah,
it's, with it, it's, and they're not trying to make it look like a movie. They're saying, let's film a comic book. And
the constant reminder when they come up with the actual comic pages and, you know, all the actual drawings, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's just a constantly saying, telling you, whatever you're seeing here, this is a comic book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and like you said with Professor Feather, that it seems like an 80s kind of thing. It's punk rock and new wave, you know, with her haircut and her hair changing.
And the fact, colors and...
Yeah. When I love the fact that I'm like going, when did she do her makeup? When in this scene did she do her makeup?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm like going, I don't give a fuck because this is a comic book movie.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? Yes.
But that's how she looked in the comic book though too. She always had.
She did. Yes.
That's what I said. That was the brilliance of it. And you know, a lot of kudos to her for her performance.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
And I mean, I can't say it enough. Iggy Pop, he just, you know, he stole the show.
Well, and I love the fact that they paid homage to
fromage.
No. They pray fromage to.
oh my gosh, what's the movie from with the tall man?
Phantasm?
Phantasm, because the ball.
Oh, the ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She does, it's the clapper.
Yes. Yeah, I love that scene. That's a good, there's a good scene. Yeah.
See, I, the fact, I can see that in a movie or like in a comic book. I can see it panel by panel.
Yep. Yeah, this thing exactly.
And a close up of the things going through the bloodied wrist with the word balloon screaming, yo, ah, you know? Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good. A lot of good moments like that throughout the whole thing.
It is a pop culture movie. That's, you know, it pays homage to a lot of pop culture.
And it kind of, and it is kind of timeless in a way.
I was watching Professor Feather going. I'm like, he's about to tell me, like, bullshit.
I was actually waiting for our resident popular culture expert to give his one and a half cents.
Well, that's why I was wondering. I was making the connections, and I was like, okay, well, we definitely have that whole, you know, the dystopian future in the desert that we got starting from Mad Max. You know, it really kind of made it popular, and that's the kind of been where it's been. I'm like, man, I hope it never happens because I really don't like the heat. But
hot
Well, I think, you know, having never read the comic book, I always look at what made the movie possible. Like, so what about Tank Girl was so relevant and so commercial appealing, you know?
Right.
And like, it was also a great, like, strong woman movie. Mm-hmm. Tank Girl is a feminist hero, if we're going to carry that label, but she's so strong and funny and quirky and in the face of all kinds of adversity, and she's the one doing the rescuing and doing all the you know, mostly kind of this is what you would expect from a typical guy hero, you know, and she's like the strongest one, you know, mm-hmm. in the movie and does everything, so it's kind of great. So I loved it at that, so I can see the appeal. And who doesn't like a really fun and violent comic book?
And a hot chick.
Yeah, you know, right. Yeah, and Lori Petty, I thought, just was really cute and really sexy and funny and you know, very pretty. And I kept on seeing, like, oh, I'm Harley Quinn. This is where we get Harley Quinn. I totally see that now. Yeah. Including some of the, like, even almost some of the accent, you know, that kind of.
You're right. Yeah, no, I think so too.
Yeah. So you kind of get that in the Cyndi Lauper kind of thing. I can see that too. So I see the appeals to things that were probably part of the origin and of when Tank Girl was, like, being thought of and written. That, you know, 80s influence is certainly there, and a loving homage to that genre too. So I think it just hits on all those levels. Yeah.
When her voice, I don't know, something about her voice was great. You know, it's just, again, Cyndi Lauper, but it was also, there's a bunch of actors that we've heard with that kind of voice, that female voice, which is great. But again, I go back to, she is, for me, the female Jim Carrey. Like, she does all kinds of stuff, you know, in that is very cartoony, that I think is great. So, yeah. I love this movie. I love this movie more now than when I first saw it.
Yeah. So
I think I liked it better the second time around.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
Because
once I saw, like, oh, okay, and once I saw how they were staying with the comic book, I was like, oh, okay, let's see what they do with it. And you're right, they carried it all the way through.
Yeah, and by the time, you know, there again, everything is so interesting that, you know, however, I don't even know how long the movie is, but it's like there's no, you know, no wasted time.
No, it moves quick. It
seems like everything at a great pace. I thought, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fairly long. I mean, it's over an hour.
Hour 45, I think.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it kind of, yeah.
As I said, it doesn't.
You don't notice it very much.
No, you don't notice it, I don't think.
And they do a great twist at the end. She's like, oh, Naomi Watts betrayed us. She was on your payroll. And he goes, no, you are a camera all the time. We had you injected with cameras all over your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like going, oh, she was ready to throw what's her face under the bus, and then finds out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. And I like that whole idea. You know, we've put cameras all over your body, so no matter what, we could monitors.
I look, microphones. Yeah, I hear everything.
Yeah.
I also think that a female director
detecting queefing.
Yeah. What was it? What's wrong with your gunt?
James Gunt? I love that guy.
The chamber's empty, yeah. So
I just think that it takes a female director to take Naomi Watts being very unrecognizable as Naomi Watts and gradually take her into being somebody very both active action hero and beautiful.
Yeah.
And charismatic.
And charismatic, yeah. Naomi Watts is great. Amazing. Yeah, she's great amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like the Velma, you know.
Yes. Oh yes, my gosh, yes, that's so good. That's so good. Yeah.
Yes. And yeah, I think that
Velma's always been hotter. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely. Especially in the movies.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yes, they play that up. Yes.
Little chubby was like, oh fuck yeah. A little orange skirt. Yeah.
Dr. Tarr, this is your life.
I have not a clue. Yeah.
True confessionals on a very special Unsane Radio.
Oh, I'll Scooby-Doo you. Yeah.
Toys. Come here, Dr. Tarr is chasing after Velma. Let's get her, gang.
Mystery solved. Yeah.
This is my Scooby snack.
Bro, Raggy, yeah.
Don't say Raggy.
I know, that's offensive to dogs, I know.
Oh. And I'm spent.
And yeah, scene.
Barbera.
Yeah. Yeah. And scene.
Of course, if you haven't seen it, and that little leopard tart.
If you haven't seen this movie, you need to go see it. You need to find it somewhere and see it because it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it.
It is.
It's nothing else than just yeah, you know. And there again, that's that you brought the point about it being kind of pop culture references, you know, throughout the movie and stuff. Then, which is interesting because then now it has become a part of pop culture. This mm-hmm. movie itself, you know, which I find fascinating in how popular culture is activated, motivated, desiccated, designated,
reassimilated.
I just love it.
We talked about things have to rhyme. That's all.
Yo.
Yo, things have to rhyme. Yo. All right.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump?
Have been experiencing
radio.
And it's also insane.
Oh, unsaneradio.com. Tar and Feather.
We flitter about.
Tittering?
Tittering.
We titter on the Twitter.
We flitter on the Twitter.
We twitter on the XXX.
Oh, we do. Ooh, fans only. That's where we make the real money.
That's right. after I did my tour with Chip and Wales. I was pretty fancy. And Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTube and the Facebooks. Montag Lewis, one word, on the Instagrams. Heavy and Metal and Horror, all day, all night. We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ. Freaks! Gadfly, where will you be?
I will be hither. And I will dither. And eventually I will wither, like everybody.
We call, he will come dither.
You mean you ain't gonna go yon?
Yon's going downtown?
Down.
I have no idea what music by.
This music is by Fightstarter. This is called My Perfection. We've used a couple of Fightstarter. They're good.
Need a couple of pay starters. Hey, pal. Come on, pal.
Come on, pal.
Come on, pay me, pal.
Can't you help a fellow American that's just down on his luck?
That's clown on his luck.
Can't you help a clown on his clown that's down on his luck?
We're down to clown to down.
Come on, stop clowning.
Don't be frowning.
Pay up, put some money in my visor.
Don't be a downy clowner.
Oh. I'm turning the music up on that one.
Yeah. Good.